I was working as an office manager and cashier at a local grocery store near where I lived. And he lived across the street and would come in to smile and to buy bubble gum. And he bought lots of bubble gum just to come in through my cashier line to say hi. It was really sweet.
And so it was a setup. He was clearly coming
totally,
through to see you.
And it was. It was adorable. I remember there was one day I showed up and my fellow, co-worker was like, oh my gosh, that tall, dark, and handsome guy is here to see you. And I just freaked out as any 17-year-old.
That's Jen Heidinger talking about how she met her husband, Ryan, who was then a young and talented chef in Indianapolis, Jen's hometown.
It was love at first sight for me. And that's the way I talk about it, because it really was for me. That was it. I'm going to marry this man one day. I just knew it.
Ryan and Jen did get married. They moved to Atlanta and eventually opened Staple House, a unique restaurant with purpose and meaning that Bon Appetit magazine and others have recently said is the best restaurant in the country. Theirs is a story of love and tragic loss, but also generosity and deep gratitude for a community that takes care of its own. So you get in a car with all your friends. This is Crazy Good Turns. We tell stories about people who do amazing things for others, and I'm your host, Brad Shaw. Wherever you go, go with all your heart, the way that you planned it at the start, the way that you planned it at the start, to go all the way. Jen grew up in what she describes as a typical Midwestern family. Bike riding, roller skating, horsing around with her older brother, playing the clarinet in the marching band, and going to church on Sundays. And from an early age, food played a big part in her life. Jen's mom, who was Spanish by birth, served fresh home-cooked meals virtually every night.
It was great, but food was a primary focus for us. So we had the very fortunate upbringing to be able to visit my mom's family and hometown once a year when I was a child. My entire family would go over to Spain and visit. And of course, that culture and the food played a really big role in my upbringing. I never really participated with my mom in the kitchen, interestingly enough. That was really her. She was devoted, super passionate about it. So my brother and I just kind of stayed away, but always really enjoyed what she prepared.
When Jen met Ryan in January of 2000, he had just returned to Indianapolis from Atlanta, where he had graduated from culinary school and had what Jen describes as a somewhat frustrating experience in the restaurant industry there.
At that time, he had, driving back home, he always said, I remember looking back in, my rearview mirror, looking back at Atlanta behind me and saying, the city defeated me. And I, to this day, still find that fascinating.
In what way?
Just, it was a big city and it was, we'll say blossoming maybe is the right word. Again, going to culinary school here in a big city that was much different than Indy. That was, he just felt like it had swallowed him up. And so he wasn't maybe quite ready for it.
Back home in Indiana, Ryan landed a job as a chef at a catering company. And after he bought enough bubblegum and finally asked Jen out, the two became inseparable. Jen says that Ryan's love of food and cooking also stemmed from his childhood, but through a different experience than her own. Ryan was the middle child of a single mom who worked long hours to provide for her family, and the kids often had to fend for themselves when it came to meals. So, starting at a young age, Ryan would just pull ingredients from the cupboard and cook meals for his older brother and younger sister.
That was kind of his way of nurturing and, helping just this kind of connection within his family, which was, his immediate sister and brother. And I think that was kind of the starting point, was just kind of feeding that soul at a really early age. And that was something that was incredibly powerful for him, that he started to enjoy the idea of, taking ingredients and seeing what would come out of it.
Jen went away to college, but came home every opportunity she could to spend time with Ryan, who continued to hone his skills as a chef.
I remember the first time he cooked for me, what that felt like, how he felt about it, what that meant to be able to provide, something that he handcrafted for someone he loved. I remember in adulthood behaving in the same manner that I did kind of in childhood, where the kitchen was Ryan's domain. He thrived in it. He lived in it. He would go to work and then he would come home and cook. And that's sometimes a little atypical for really anybody. I mean, you kind of are tired. You don't want to do the same thing you've been doing all day, or you need a creative outlet in a different way. And for him, it was, I want to go cook. And several nights a week, he would come home and cook something for us.
Ryan's confidence and creativity as a chef continued to blossom. And by 2004, he was ready to practice his art on a bigger stage. So Jen and Ryan packed up and moved to Atlanta, the city that had once beaten him, but not this time. Ryan quickly established himself as one of the most prominent and creative chefs in Atlanta, cooking at several of the city's best restaurants. Jen says that in addition to his cooking abilities, Ryan's leadership skills are what really set him apart in the kitchen.
Incredibly talented, extremely modest, and very, very humble. Super silly and goofy, too. So he's always able to kind of make light of a situation or really take great care and thought in sitting with someone and, you know, allowing them to grow or to become the best that they could be. He was really, really thoughtful about his time in leadership.
Jen and Ryan eventually married in November of 2005, and Ryan continued to work his way up the Atlanta restaurant industry food chain. At 29, he took a job at Muss & Turner's, a gourmet sandwich shop that Ryan helped turn into a full-service restaurant that's still among Atlanta's most popular. I go there about once a month for a regular lunch with an old friend of mine, and we purposely get there when the doors open so we can avoid the long line that often snakes out the door. Late one night, while driving home from work, just before his 30th birthday, Ryan was sideswiped by a hit-and-run driver. His car skidded across four lanes of traffic, hit the median, and landed in the grass. The accident caused both Jen and Ryan to step back and take a broader assessment of their lives.
He could have been killed, and that accident took him out of work in the hospital for a few days and out of work for almost 8 weeks to heal at home. And that truly is kind of the time where, you know, we've been in Atlanta for already about 4 years. We had talked constantly about, you know, we're young, super ambitious. And what's next for our family? Like, what do we really want to do? We moved to Atlanta thinking it would only be a 2 or 3 year stint.
What they really wanted to do, they decided, was open their own restaurant. At the time, they weren't sure what that would look like. Maybe a sandwich shop or a full service restaurant. So Ryan and Jen decided to ease into the process, launching a supper club in their home called Prelude to Staple House, while Ryan kept his day job at Muss & Turner's.
And it was magical. You know, it was an intimate setting. It was 10 guests. At a time, we would send an email out, and it's just first come, first served. It would sell out in moments. I remember guests who would stop almost right before coming up the front porch and kind of look at each other and kind of shake their head like, what are we doing? We're going into a stranger's home to eat food, and I hope we come out alive. And it was extremely often that that would happen, and then they would leave, you know, rosy-cheeked and hugging and high-fiving on the way out.
Prelude to Staple House was a wild success, further cementing Ryan's stature in the Atlanta restaurant community and building serious buzz about his next act. By 2010, they hired a consultant, built a business plan, and began seeking out investors for the eventual culmination of Ryan's artistic dream, the launch of Staple House. In December of 2012, Jen gave Ryan a trip to New York as an anniversary gift. Ryan took his best friend and fellow chef Ryan Smith along, and the two hit the town, sampling great food and cocktails late into the night. Ryan returned home feeling fatigued, assuming it was the flu or just an extended hangover, so he went to the doctor.
Ryan was diagnosed on December 21st of 2012, and as the Mayans had stated many moons ago, that it was the end of the world, and it was kind of a fitting cancer diagnosis day for Ryan. That's right before Christmas, so we had been set to go home and ended up canceling our plans to go back to Indy the following Saturday, I mean, the next day, and ended up staying home and kind of quiet and just, you know, thinking. And he ended up finding out that the cancer had metastasized 2 days after Christmas because he had to go get a biopsy. To just even be in that moment is, even today, now looking back, you know, it's been 3 years since he's passed away, and it's still hard to grasp. It really is. For somebody to say, in a monotone voice, you likely have 6 months, start to prepare and plan. You don't know how to comprehend that, and you don't. Please don't forget the light I'll
someday. Ryan was diagnosed with stage 4 gallbladder cancer, which had already spread to parts of his liver and lungs. He was given a 5% survival rate and, as Jen said, was told he had 6 months to live. He was 35. The couple was devastated. Their hope of living long lives together dashed, their dream of opening Staple House a seeming impossibility. After Jen and Ryan told their immediate family, Jen called the third Ryan in our story, Ryan Turner, another good friend of Ryan Heidinger's and his boss at Muss & Turner's.
Turner came over to our house and sat us down and just basically said, let us do what we do best. We don't want you to have to worry about anything. You need this time to, you know, figure out for you and your family what's going to be best as far as treatment, where that is, and just altogether, you know, find a path. and let us do something that can maybe help lessen the burden of the potential financial, you know, burden that this might provide.
Jen said that they had full health insurance coverage, but given the magnitude of the battle they were facing, they had no idea if it would be enough. She also admits that she and Ryan, two successful self-starters, found it a bit uncomfortable accepting help. But given their close friendship with Ryan Turner, they knew his offer truly came as a gesture of love, not charity.
And I think it takes a lot of courage on both sides to really be willing to let something significant like that happen, because it's exactly what it was. It was significant and life-changing.
That something significant was a fundraiser that Ryan Turner and several other chef friends held just 3.5 weeks later. They called it Team Heidi, after Ryan Heidinger's nickname, hired a live band, held an auction, and served great food, obviously. More than 800 people from more than 35 restaurants attended, and Team Heidi raised $275,000, more than Ryan actually needed. Jen said the fundraiser literally changed their lives and how they would think about Ryan's fight ahead of them. They had witnessed the power of a community coming together to take care of one of its own and felt firsthand a deep personal gratitude to that community. In having lived their adult lives in the restaurant business, they knew that in some ways they were the lucky ones. Plenty of restaurant workers faced their own personal hardships without the network and resources that were marshaled on their behalf. They wanted to give back to the community they so loved, and they wanted Staple House to be at the center of it.
The reality that Staple House could come to fruition, it could almost act as medicine and offer a lot of help outside of just offering food and beverage. And the idea that there wasn't something available to help industry workers, restaurant industry members, who are affected by a catastrophe, hardship, a crisis, and similar to us or other, that wasn't available. So that just really was. It was the light bulb moment that we could do more.
The exact idea that Jen, Ryan, and their friends came up with was simple but groundbreaking. Create a nonprofit called The Giving Kitchen to disperse emergency assistance grants to Atlanta area restaurant workers facing unexpected crises. And at the same time, plow ahead with their plans to open Staple House, not as a standalone entity, but rather as a for-profit subsidiary of The Giving Kitchen. After covering salaries and operating expenses, Staple House's net profits would go straight to The Giving Kitchen to help others. Think about that. Ryan and Jen were still reeling from his devastating diagnosis, and rather than stripping away all other distractions in their lives to focus on his fight, they took on the twin tasks of launching both a nonprofit and a new restaurant, one with extremely high expectations. Jen said they couldn't have done it alone.
And it was a really unique setting. This has never been done before. And this isn't me. This is a group of extremely talented and individuals who are full of desire, really, is I think the bottom line. The only way that that was successful was because of a community who lifted all of us up and wanted to help.
Jen, Ryan, and their network of friends and colleagues spent the bulk of 2013 getting The Giving Kitchen up and running as an official 501c3 and starting to lay the groundwork for opening Staple House. Looking for a location, fighting through all the delays and red tape that entails, all while Ryan faced into his grueling cancer treatment. Sadly, Ryan passed away in January of 2014, outliving his initial prognosis by 7 months. The Giving Kitchen was up and running, and Staple House would open in September the following year with Ryan's buddy from that New York trip, Ryan Smith, at the helm as the head chef. But more on that in a bit. As for The Giving Kitchen, it's become one of Atlanta's most popular and most successful nonprofits. Team Heidi 2.0, which was held just a few weeks after Ryan's passing in 2014, raised $325,000, 100% of it going to The Giving Kitchen. Team Heidi 5.0, held this past January, raised $575,000, exceeding its goal for the event. Since its founding in 2013, The Giving Kitchen has awarded more than $1 million in grants for emergency assistance to more than 650 members of the Atlanta restaurant community. The average grant is about $1,800 and covers basic living expenses like rent, utilities, and travel to a funeral. Qualifying circumstances include illness, death in the family, injury, and natural disasters. In addition to a direct grant, The Giving Kitchen will also match donations that a grant recipient's colleagues raise. Jen is quick to point out that The Giving Kitchen was never intended to replace insurance, but rather a financial gap filler when workers face a personal crisis.
We want to be a resource. We want to be kind of an unexpected, beautiful thing in someone's life that when they meet a need, we are able to offer them that peace of mind, really, we talk about a lot, to just ensure that they are able to heal, do whatever they need to do in order to get back on their feet. Because that's really what it's all about, is just sustaining a portion of, you know, their income so they can get back on their feet and back into work and back into the restaurant world if it's that.
I met a Giving Kitchen grant recipient when I interviewed Jen. His name is Drew Burkhalter, and he's a bartender at Leon's Full Service, a gastropub known for its cocktails and french fries in Decatur, Georgia. So you're a bartender?
I am one of the bartenders, yes.
What's your favorite drink to make?
Unfair question. It definitely depends on if you want some booze or some refreshment, you know?
Booze.
I like to keep it classic. I like Torontos and Sazeracs, old fashions.
I've gotten into Sazeracs a lot lately.
Sazeracs are delicious.
I never had one until I was in New Orleans a couple months ago.
Yep.
Now I'm hooked.
That's the orientation.
Yep. Last November, Drew had to have back surgery to repair a fragment of a disc that had severed off from his vertebrae and was impacting his sciatic nerve. He doesn't know exactly what triggered the injury, and he tried to work through it, but the pain was too great, and he was hospitalized. His procedure was covered by his insurance, but not working during his long recovery would have been devastating to him financially.
I probably would have lost my apartment. I would have gone into debt. It would have been years impacted, for sure.
Instead, Drew got the financial support he needed from the Giving Kitchen through a direct grant of $1,700 and another $3,300 through a matching grant, $5,000 in total.
You know, from the beginning, injuries like this and needing help, you know, it took a little bit to, you know, muster up the energy to actually ask for help. When I finally called, one of the first things that they said was, "Thank you for reaching out." Instantly felt like family, felt like friends, which was really nice because in situations like in times of crisis like this, there's already so much emotion. So feeling comfortable was key, and it was really good to feel that right off the bat with him. It was fantastic.
And as for Staple House, well, it's cranking. At noon on the second Friday of each month, Staple House releases its reservations for the following month, and it's usually sold out in about an hour. I got on the website at 12 sharp on the second Friday in November last year, and within minutes, most of the weekend spots were already snatched up. But I was able to score a Thursday night dinner reservation with my wife, Mary, in late December, and it was absolutely amazing. I'm not a hardcore foodie, so I'd fail miserably at trying to describe Ryan Smith's food in detail, but it really is incredible and worthy of the nationwide praise it's gotten. It was truly some of the most interesting flavor blends I've ever had. But the vibe in Staple House is what really sets it apart. The restaurant is housed in a renovated old firehouse built at the turn of the last century. It's run by Chef Ryan Smith, Jen, and Ryan Heidinger's sister Kara, who's also married to Ryan the chef and is in charge of service and front of house. It has the bustle you'd expect from a restaurant this hot, but it feels remarkably welcoming, not at all intimidating or full of itself like other restaurants of this caliber. All the staff are incredibly friendly and informative about the food we were served. Jen, Kara, and Ryan had a very specific vision for Staple House, and they're executing it flawlessly.
Staple House is meant to be a place that's supposed to feel like your home. We designed it in a way that you come up our driveway, you go through our garage door, and in through our patio before you even get to the host stand, and then you're greeted by an completely open kitchen, very intimate-sized dining room, and even smaller bar with rock and roll music. I mean, it's kind of just meant to be like you're going home, and with purpose.
Home, and with a purpose. That's Staple House, and that's where Jen now spends most of her waking hours when she's not helping tell the Giving Kitchen story. It's a labor of love that's a constant reminder of her loss, but also a source of pure joy to Jen and the entire Staple House family.
It is. It's a unique atmosphere that we get to be in, and it's hard, too. You know, it is a constant reminder, but in such a positive way. This happened. This came true for Smith and Kara and myself and so many people. And he's not here. And it's turned out to be kind of this place of, you know, I don't want to say worship, but it's just like this, it feels good to be there. Ryan's energy is palpable there. Heidi's energy is everywhere. It is, and that's the other part to that, is that it's, we get to go in and remember, but we get to go in and you know, full of joy and get to talk about him and stories and all of that. To be able to kind of relate to, you know, what Staple House really is as a restaurant now. It's amazing. Time we've taken
has been. I'm Brad Shaw, and thanks for listening to this episode of Crazy Good Turns. Go to crazygoodturns.org to learn more about or donate to the Giving Kitchen and to submit your ideas for extraordinary people and organizations we should feature. And stay connected with us between episodes by following us on Facebook and Twitter. You might have noticed we found some great music to support our podcast. We've provided a Spotify playlist of the full tracks on our website so you can take a longer listen, which we hope you'll do. And if you're a band with a song we should consider featuring, you can submit it on our website too. We're also asking you to help us grow our audience this year and bring our inspiring stories to more people. You see, Crazy Good Turns is a nonprofit itself, and like most nonprofits, we don't have a big marketing budget. And the single most important way for us to gain increased visibility is to crank up our ratings and reviews on iTunes. So we're setting a goal of 1,000 iTunes ratings by the end of the year. And we're asking you and the nonprofits we feature to unleash your creativity, passion, and social networks to help us get there. And because we're all part of this virtuous and self-reinforcing circle of giving, we'll give a $50,000 grant at the end of the year to the nonprofit that helps us the most. With your help, we know we'll get there, and then some. Crazy Good Turns is audio engineered by Stephen Key. Music supervision and mixing by Score Score in Los Angeles. And a special thanks to Megan Basinger. Take care, and let's connect again soon.
Back then, my teenage energy would take a thousand shapes. I would wrestle with no one.